The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us on this, the Frank Sontag Show. We're going to begin our impact segment as we always do. 20 plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. I'm grateful to have my guest on the phone who has been on the program before. He is actually author of a national best-selling book called Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. He is also former president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. He was there for 17 years. He serves currently as a contributing columnist for the Washington Times. And Dr. Everett Piper has a brand new book out entitled Grow Up, Life Isn't Safe, But It's Good. Dr. Piper, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show.
Frank, I'm honored. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
I am always grateful to hear your life experience and your understanding of complex times that we live in. Now, you didn't hear the previous hour. We talked a little bit about some of the questions about what's going on in this country with shootings and racism, et cetera, et cetera. There are a lot of people that are upset. And yet you write this book about cancel culture and the state of our country. Talk a bit about your book, Grow Up, Life Isn't Safe, But It's Good, and then obviously I'll follow up with questions.
Well, context. If I could take 30 seconds to set context for the book. In 2017, as you mentioned, I wrote Not a Daycare. And in that book, I was challenging the snowflake rebellion that was taking place on our college campuses. All of these cries for safe spaces and the talk of microaggressions and trigger warnings from Berkeley to Brown. And the students actually saying that if they felt uncomfortable with a speaker, uncomfortable with a different idea, uncomfortable with debate, uncomfortable with an intellectual challenge, that that speaker was guilty of some sort of microaggression and should be canceled and expelled from their campus. Ben Shapiro, Dennis Prager, and others suffered the fate of the snowflakes. I challenged that, and I said, my land, university is supposed to be a place where you learn. It's not supposed to be a safe place. It's supposed to be a place that challenges you, not comforts you. And if you think that my university is going to make you feel comfortable rather than challenge your character, then go someplace else. And then I concluded by saying, my land, this is a university. It is not a daycare. And that's probably why I talked to you a couple of years ago. That's the content. So what's the point of my book, Grow Up? It's the sequel. Daycare was identifying the problem, the snowflakes, and all this narcissism that we've taught on our college campuses is coming home to roost. Bad ideas, bad behavior, bad kids, bad culture, bad community, bad country, bad Congress, bad courts. Garbage in, garbage out. And what I'm saying in Grow Up is those kids have graduated. They now have jobs, and their job titles are called fact checkers, and they're working for Google and Amazon and Twitter and Facebook and even Major League Baseball. And if they don't like what you say, what you write, if they don't like how you vote, they're going to cancel you, they're going to expel you, they're going to silence you. This is ideological fascism. This is not intellectual freedom. But in Grow Up, I don't just bemoan the problem. I actually present 20 chapters, 20 lessons, if you will, of what we should be doing about it and how we can solve the problem and that there is a solution. And that's the point of Grow Up. Basically, I'm saying it was never supposed to be safe. Life isn't supposed to be safe. No pain, no gain. As iron sharpens iron, let one man sharpen another. Get back on the horse, suck it up. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. It's these lifelong lessons that have stood the test of time that we still remember these axioms for a reason. It's because they're true, and we need to revisit both the philosophical and the theological and the sociological reasons for those lessons enduring the test of time.
Dr. Everett Piper is my guest. His new book is entitled Grow Up. I want to talk solutions for the majority of the interview, but I have one follow-up question to so much of what you said, and it goes like this. How did we get here, and is this an unprecedented time in our country? In other words, have we been here before? And if we have, what did we learn? And if we haven't, how can we move forward and address what's really going on here?
Well, you know, I've done a lot of interviews in the last couple of days because of the release of the book being this week, and almost every host has asked me that question. There's a sense of despair. I don't know if that's the way you meant it or not, but there's almost this, my land, can we ever recover? Are we too far gone to come back to any sense of sanity in a culture that's literally lost its mind and sold its soul? Now, has America been here before? That's debatable. Have other nations been here before? Absolutely. In fact, the lesson of the Old Testament, I would argue, is that Israel has been here many times over the centuries, over the millennia. Israel, the Jews, suffered the fate of terrible ideas and narcissism and self-absorption and worshiping themselves rather than worshiping God, thinking that they can worship the God they see in the mirror more than the one they find in Revelation and in Scripture. Israel suffered the fate of its lousy thinking, lousy ideas, lousy decisions, and lousy behavior. So the lesson of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, and whatnot, is a lesson that we should be attending to, because they're basically blowing the whistle, not only on Israel, but on all of the generations to follow, and we should learn a lesson from their failures.
Now, this may sound like a non sequitur, but I'm running on no sleep. I've had a challenging night, and so I just... Maybe this is the Holy Spirit speaking through me. I don't know. But here's the question. We know in the Bible there was the paralytic at the healing well, 38 years. Jesus asked him, do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? Do we as the body of Christ, do we really want to be healed? Because it seems to me if we do, it would take individual efforts such as you're doing to speak out against some of this darkness and some of these lies that are not only endemic in the culture, but we've got some problems in the church.
Well, there's a remnant. I obviously am a Christian, and I write this book from the perspective of a Christian. I believe that Jesus is who he claims to be. I believe that Jesus is God, and therefore, when he gives us a promise, he's not going to break it. He can't break it by definition. And one of the key promises that Christ gives the church is that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, there may be some pretty big bumps in the road along the way. We may suffer the loss of a battle or two along the way. We may suffer exile. We may suffer punishment like the Jews did, like Israel did, for their apostasy and for their disobedience and for their foolishness, childishness, and stupidity. We may suffer that, but at the end of the day, Christ has promised us what the end of the story is. I know the end of the story. I know who wins the game. So the point is, what do we do in the midst of that, in the midst of your question? Well, I believe, and I tell this story in chapter 20 of the book, the lessons I've learned in being a college president, the lessons of leadership. One of the lessons I learned is, you better have a spine. You better have conviction. You better have courage. You better know what you stand for. You can't nail Jell-O to a wall. So if all you are is mushy Jell-O, nobody is going to be able to nail you to anything, because you're indistinct. You mean nothing. If you're a friend to all and an enemy of none, then you're leading no one anywhere. No one's going to follow you. So stand for something. And I believe that if you wave the banner of truth, truth with a capital T, if you wave the banner of truth, the truth of freedom, the truth of liberty, the truth of human dignity, if you wave the banner that women are real, they're not just a fantasy of a dysphoric male, if you wave the banner of liberty, that it's more important than safety, and stop sacrificing yourself on this altar of safety just because you're afraid of a disease, if you wave the banner of truth, if you wave the banner of truth, people will follow you. And you know what? If you win waving that banner, great, that's God's grace. But if you lose waving that banner, so what? Go down fighting. Be willing to wave the banner of truth because it's the right thing to do.
Now, I can focus on part of the problem, but obviously we want to get to solutions. I know you have anecdotes and life lessons in the book. But we do live in a time where there's like a payoff to being a victim. And part of that, part of, I think, the core reality of that is we think we're the center of the universe, like as if we're our own gods. So we have our pity parties. We play the victim. There's a payoff. We don't, ironically, we don't have to grow up, the name of your book. We can just play victim.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to what you just said, but that's a dysfunctional culture.
Yes.
That's a dysfunctional family.
Yes.
If Joey stays in his mom's basement until he's 35 or 40 years old, that's not a celebration. That's not a victory. That's nothing to be proud of. That's a man who's willing to crawl his way through life as an infant rather than stepping out on his own two legs and living like an adult. So this victimization in our culture. I kind of address what you're saying or what you're asking in, I think, chapter 3 of my book. It's titled Don't Fall in the Pool. And I tell the story of Narcissus. Well, what is that story? We all know it. Narcissus, one of the Greek gods, became so infatuated with himself that he stood on the river's edge, gazing at his reflection, mesmerized by his own beauty, until day after day, he lost his energy, lost his strength, and slipped into the pool and drowned. That's the story of Narcissus, that self-infatuation, selfishness, childishness, thinking you are the center of the universe, that you are more beautiful than Bacchus or Apollo or Zeus, or in our case today, we're more beautiful than even Jesus himself. When you start worshiping the created yourself rather than the creator, it doesn't end well. That's the lesson of history, and that's the lesson of Greek mythology, and that's the lesson of Scripture. Paul tells us that you are given over to a reprobate mind. You can't think your way out of a paper bag any longer if you start worshiping yourself rather than God. There is a solution. It's called repentance. It's called confession. It's called turning around. It's called revival. That's what the Reformation was about. It was about a return to true north, to the objective truths that are given by God, not the subjective opinions and feelings that you just came up with 5 minutes ago.
Dr. Everett Piper's brand new book is entitled Grow Up, Life Isn't Safe, But It's Good. Again, Everett, my gratitude for being on the program, and I know you're doing a lot of interviews, so bear with me. I hope and pray I don't ask a number of the same questions over and over again. So here's one. I don't even know if you address it in the book. I just got your book. I haven't read it yet. I will. Are we living at a time, spiritually speaking, is this even part of the conversation where we live in a time where there's a spirit of deception, where this idea of logic and being a mature thinking adult, it's like we've kind of relegated that to the back 40, like God gives us an ability to discern. He gives us a God-given ability to have intellect and to think and be mature. And are we just at a time where there's so much going on with deception and distraction that we as the body of Christ, we need to challenge ourselves to go, look, who is our king? What are we doing? What a time to share the gospel and to live for Christ fearlessly, if you will.
The answer to your question is yes, we do live in a time of deception. It's a time of the big lie. It's a time that maybe Isaiah warned of. Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, bittersweet and sweet bitter. Woe unto those who reverse the definitions of reality. That's the Piper paraphrase. We live in a time where we've reversed the definition of men and women. We've reversed the definition of marriage. We've reversed the definition of what a human being is. We think we can decide what's living and what's not. We think we can execute babies 5 seconds before they're born because they aren't human. We've reversed almost all of God's definitions. We live in a time where 2 + 2 = 4 has been dubbed as trope by a professor at Brooklyn College.
Yeah.
Nothing but the product of white privilege. We live in a time where your very question that assumes logic and discernment, to use your word, is considered a product of white privilege, a product of Anglo-European thinking. This is a time of great deception. And what's the solution? Jesus told us you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth always brings freedom. Opinions and feelings always bring bondage. Pol Pot and Mao and Robespierre and Chavez and Hitler and Mussolini, all the despots of history, understood that opinions always lead to bondage. They all had opinions, right? And those opinions didn't end very well for a lot of Jews and a lot of others who suffered the consequences of their feelings and of their bad ideas. Opinions always lead to slavery and bondage and brokenness, but truth sets us free. And frankly, what a wonderful time to be alive. The battle lines are clear. There's no ambiguity. If you stand for righteousness, if you stand for goodness, if you stand for beauty, if you stand for truth, all of these things being defined by God, not by you, what a wonderful time to be alive, because we can enter the battle with the front line well defined, so that we know who the adversary is and what the bad ideas are. My friend Jim Garlow from California says it this way: what a wonderful time to be alive.
Everett Piper's new book is entitled Grow Up. You spent 17 years at Oklahoma Wesleyan. I know you have a heart for young people, people that are maybe on the position at a time where they're graduating now. We've had this, it's called the pandemic. I'm more critical of the lockdowns than anything, but yet there are a lot of young people maybe set to graduate right now. And yet they get a bad rap. I hear so much about millennials and Gen Zers. They're lost. They don't go to church. And yet there are literally thousands of young people about ready to venture out into the world that may or may not be equipped for what is to come. So in the few moments we have, let's talk about the next generation. Let's talk about specifics and some solutions. And obviously, anybody listening to this program needs to go out and pick up your book and read it slowly and pray fervently to stand against a cancel culture right now that is on the move.
Oh, absolutely. A couple solutions that I would offer to anyone, whether you're 21 or whether you're 61. And again, this isn't a generational joust book. I'm not only picking on millennials or Gen Zers, because I think Nancy Pelosi's behavior in tearing up the President's State of the Union address was one of the most childish things I've seen in a long time. So it's not just picking on the 21-year-olds. This is looking in the mirror and recognizing that I can be as guilty of this childish behavior as anyone. So, and I think that's the first point. We need to look in the mirror and be self-critical. One of my key lessons to learn in the book is, when it comes to solving the problems of culture, look in the mirror. Stop looking out the window. Stop blaming everybody else for your problems. Stop claiming that you're the victim. Until you take personal responsibility for what you see in the mirror, you should never be pointing your finger out the window. So stop the victimization. Stop the virtue signaling. Stop talking about violence and vengeance. Start focusing on virtue as it's defined by God. Stop focusing on veritas, Latin for truth. And venture in, if you wanted to look at yourself and talk about yourself and think about yourself, then start with repentance and confession and recognize that you're not born that way. You can be born again, and that you can become a new creation in Christ. Behold, all things that are old have passed away. You can become new. The new has come. A new transformed individual is what God offers you if you stop the selfishness and start focusing on the Savior. That's one key lesson.
When we profess faith in Christ and we repent and put our faith and trust in Him and we have new life in Christ, we start reading the Bible. There's this guy who used to be named Saul. Saul of Tarsus. And yet, I don't know how many of us listening right now really take pause to just think and pray about his life before he became Paul and God's transformative power and meeting him on the road saying, why are you persecuting me? Can we just share a moment or two about who we all can learn from now in the New Testament, who Paul was and is, and how we can maybe look at ourselves and go, hey, if we've been part of metaphorically persecuting people or being part of the violence and perpetuating some of the pain and the anger, God can use us for his glory to transform so many people's pain into learning from the example of the life of Paul, for instance.
Absolutely. The gospel is the good news of transformation. It's the good news that there is a soap for the soul, okay? And the church is the soap for the soul. It's the soap for culture. The good news of Jesus Christ, the evangel, the gospel, can cleanse things that are dirty. And we need to start with ourselves and not start with others, start with ourselves. Paul's a perfect example of that. His identity, he identified as the worst of all sinners. He recognized that he had been redeemed and reformed and transformed by the lordship of Jesus Christ. He didn't define himself by his libido, his inclinations, sexual or otherwise. He defined himself by his Lord. So the lesson of Paul is your identity is in Christ. It is not in your past. It is not in your future person. It's not in you. It's not in the things you want to do. It's not in your habits or your passions. Your identity is in Jesus. And that's a powerful, transformational, changing message. There are a couple lessons of Paul, and I know I need to be quick here, but this drives home the point of grow up. Life is not safe, but it's good. In his letter to Ephesus, the church of Ephesus in the first century, Paul challenges this immature church, and he says this, speak the truth. Truth is an objective reality. It's not a matter of feelings. It's not about your opinions. It's about truth with a capital T. Speak the truth in what? Love, not tolerance, not affirmation, not enablement, but love. Love confronts. Love disciplines. Love cares enough to say, no, don't do that. Love doesn't tolerate. My dad didn't tolerate me. My mom didn't tolerate me. They challenged me because they loved me. They disciplined me because they loved me. Speak the truth in love and do what? Grow up. Grow up. Life isn't safe, but it's good. One of the truths in my book is it isn't about safety. It's about freedom. It's about freedom in Christ. It's about freedom being a much higher value, your summum bonum, if you will, your highest good philosophically and theologically. Speak the truth in love. And what do we know the truth is? Jesus defined truth for us. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Speak the truth in love and grow up.
Dr. Everett Piper is author of the new book, as he just shared. It's entitled Grow Up, Life Isn't Safe, But It's Good. Anything that you would like to share in closing, whether it's about the book, anything at all, Everett, it's good to hear your voice. Thank you for staying on the front lines and sharing the truth of Jesus. And at a time by which I think so many of us are challenged, we look to pastors, we look to Christian leaders like, it's their time and I'm not equipped. Obviously, God equips all of us, and he's calling all of us to step forward. So thank you for reminding us of who we are in Christ. And anything you want to share in closing, I'm grateful to hear you.
Churchill, never give up. Never, 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 never give up. Don't appease. Don't tolerate. Don't affirm. Don't capitulate. Don't compromise. Never give up. Run into the storm. Trust the captain. Trust the king. Trust Jesus Christ and his promise. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Never give up. Recognize it isn't supposed to be safe. It wouldn't be fun if it were safe. Have fun. Enjoy the challenge. Get in the game. Fight the good fight. Never give up. Life isn't safe, but it's good.
Amen. Dr. Everett Piper has been my guest. Again, his book is available at all the usual places. Grow Up, Life Isn't Safe, But It's Good. Everett, I hope and pray it's not as long as it's been. Thank you for all you do, and thank you for writing Grow Up. It's a powerful book and one I hope everybody picks up.
Thank you so much. Honored to be on your show. Take care.
Take care as well. 888-528-2557 are the numbers to call into the program. And we will pause and be back with more in just a matter of moments. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. In the remaining 30 minutes of the broadcast, we're going to move around a little bit. I'm going to kind of suspend what I had planned on doing. And for me, because I was so impacted by what Dr. Piper shared in just the short time we had on the air, I want to read a little bit out of his book. And it will speak for itself. Now, I don't know if I've ever had a moment in my life where I've had such clarity of thought as what Dr. Piper just shared, but let me emphasize a little more of that because I want to be part of the narrative that is about clarity and about truth and about Jesus and not pointing the finger and playing the victim and blaming others, which Dr. Piper kind of emphasized. That doesn't mean you won't experience things in your life that aren't fair. Doesn't mean you won't be vilified. That doesn't mean you won't be wounded. That doesn't mean you won't be persecuted. But let me read a little from Dr. Piper's book under the heading, Quitters Quit. What we choose to do in response to the challenges life poses us defines us. Those who choose to give up and quit earn the opprobrium that comes with being known as a quitter. Quitting is a decision, and those who choose to quit are defined as quitters. Quitting is a pattern that develops over the course of a lifetime, becoming easier and easier when one develops the habit of giving up on a task or a goal. After we quit something for the first time, we have much less guilt and shame about abandoning another pursuit. Rather than persevering and learning from the struggle, we grow softer when we give up. Solomon tells us that as iron sharpens iron, one man should sharpen the other. This implies resistance. It tells us that sparks will fly and heat will be applied. A lack of conflict only dulls the sword. Paul uses a similar analogy when he tells us, our workmanship will be tested and proven by fire. The Apostle Peter essentially says the same when he reminds us that our character and faith will be refined by fire. It is in the heat of the difficult times that our mettle is proved. Growth happens when we overcome the struggles and afflictions that life presents. Those who consistently cower and try to run away from obstacles and struggles are those who become snowflakes. Unable to handle any heat, they melt away in selfish indignation and insignificance. Generations ago, the thought of retreating at the first sight of struggle would have been seen as an embarrassment. Now, giving up when the going gets tough is a source of comedy, an opportunity to blame everyone else, and a chance to start our 97th new beginning in life. Here's the spoiler. The best predictor of future behavior is always past behavior. The 97th won't be your last. There'll be a 98th as soon as there is difficulty in the 97th. Those who quit have a major aversion to being tested and are unable to face the issues that life is destined to bring. A quitter exposes that his heart was never fully committed. He's more interested in comfort than conviction. He has no courage. Being coddled as a child is more important to him than proving he's a man of character. When did a lack of courage become a cultural good? When did a lack of fortitude become something that we champion rather than condemn? When children throw in the towel, adults dig in. Being an adult means seeing obstacles as opportunities and ways to grow and embracing challenges even when they seem overwhelmingly difficult. Growing up means that the days of doing what's easy and safe are given up for hard work. It means risking failure for the sake of achieving something great and good, regardless of what stands in the way. Think about New Year's resolutions, writes Everett Piper. Every year, as midnight begins to approach, we spout off a habit we hope to change in the coming weeks and months. But according to research conducted by the University of Scranton, 92% of people fail to live up to their resolution, giving up on the new life they envision for themselves. That means only 8% stick to their word and see their project through. As Marcel Schwantes wrote for Inc.com, quote, the 8% have an internal compass that keeps them locked in until they reach the top of the mountain. It's a belief system of do whatever it takes that is intrinsically motivated at their core, end quote. Failure to stick to New Year's resolutions may seem a trivial example, but the stats indicate a larger trend in Western Europe and American culture. When the going gets tough, we quit. We commit only to the point that it is comfortable. At the first sign of discomfort, we decommit and move on to something more pleasant. If a boss is too demanding, quit and go to work for a new boss until the new boss grows too demanding. I can't do it is the cry of our times. This attitude trickles down in a lack of cultural resolve. The story of the little engine that could has become a bunch of little engines that would rather not. Adulthood, can it be flipped on and off like a light switch? Maturity requires us to stand when the going gets difficult, to fight for something bigger than ourselves rather than pushing back under the covers, unable to deal with an imperfect world. As Katharine Hepburn quipped in her book, life is hard, after all, it kills you. Though there are struggles, adults endure. Reading from Everett Piper's book called Grow Up, Life Isn't Safe, But It's Good. 888-528-2557. We're going to break and come back with one final round of calls. There's a full board and we'll kind of reset. I may even read a little more from Everett's brand new book called Grow Up. I pray this program blesses you and challenges you. And ultimately, you discover that the only truth is in Christ Jesus. If you profess to be a follower of Jesus, as I do, and we have our differences or our disagreements, I would hope and pray first and foremost we look to the King for our identity and say, we are brothers and sisters. We may not agree. We may have issues to hash out, but ultimately we're family. We have a common enemy. It's not each other. The Bible clearly spells out who our common enemy is. He's identified as the father of lies. Stop buying into the lies. Stand for the truth in Christ. And may we stand as brothers and sisters together against those lies. We will continue with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Our final segment, we're going to take at least a call or two, and then I'm going to end on a note about the idea of what it means to be an adult. Yeah. We have people in grown-up bodies that may have never learned what it means to be an adult. We'll talk about that in a moment. Kevin is in Portland, Oregon. Kevin, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hiya, Frank. Thank you for taking my call. You know, when you first started, just a quick thing, I heard your voice a couple of weeks ago on the radio, and I went, I know that voice. And Frank Sontag, I was trying to figure out who you were. And I used to listen to another radio show years ago, and I know you don't like talking about it, so I won't. But and I remember when you were in the accident, and I prayed for you. And my heart is so filled with joy that you got saved and are a believer. And for me, it's been about 11 years since I've turned my own life around. And earlier we were talking about the police and compliance and all of that. You know, I used to have a problem with the police too. I used to be a criminal, too. And it seemed like whenever I was doing crime, the police were right there to snatch me up. You know, I even tried running from them once in a car at 100-something miles an hour. You can't outrun radios. But when I got saved, and I got the Holy Spirit, and I learned that if I quit doing certain things, I won't get hassled anymore. So I decided, well, let's not do any crime because the Bible says some of these things I'm doing I shouldn't do. Lo and behold, I have no more problem with police officers. I'm not even afraid of them anymore because I'm not doing something that would cause them. You know, I've been stopped by accident because I fit a profile. That's happened to me. But, you know, I just went with whatever they were doing, and when it was over, I went my way, and they went theirs, and everything was fine.
Well, I praise God for your testimony, be it as short as it was because of a time factor. Kevin, thank you for calling. You're in Portland. I'm down here in L.A. God is a great God, and what I'd like to do is get your name and mailing address. I want to send you my book. You may not know I have a book. It's my biography, and I'd be honored to sign it to you and send one in the mail to you. It's what God can do in anyone's life when they say yes to the King. God bless you, Kevin. I love you. Great to hear from you. Thanks for calling. True adults. Chuck Swindoll once said, "We are all faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations." Everett Piper writes under the category True Adults, a society desperate for leaders always turns its eyes to the next generation. And there are lots of reasons to be searching for leadership right now. With a rapid decline in original thought, intellectual freedom, and open debate, the masses fall in line. American education seems intent on producing propaganda rather than sound pedagogy. Teachers seem to yearn for carbon copies of themselves rather than graduates who can think for themselves. Today's academic establishment is in the business of requiring that students follow the leader and punishing those who dare to lead. Leadership is out. Falling in line is in. The maturity and confidence to think for oneself is at its heart a call to leadership. Adults, obviously, have more freedom than children. They've lived long enough to learn from their mistakes, discard the ideas that didn't work, and embrace the good ideas that have merit. True adults don't have to conform to arbitrary authority, for they can see the reasons underpinning justified authority. They lead as much as they follow, and they follow as much as they lead. They understand the paradox of discipline and freedom. They understand what it means to lead through example rather than by threats. For over 17 years, I was blessed to be a university president. During my time at the helm, we went from financial devastation to a model of fiscal health. Enrollment more than doubled, as did revenue. Debt was paid down to zero. Net assets increased. We repeatedly cited a champion of academic freedom and religious liberty. But as we close, I would highly endorse Grow Up by Dr. Everett Piper. Grow Up. Can you imagine writing a book called Grow Up in today's culture? Well, that's offensive. What do you mean grow up? Are you insinuating I'm not growing up? Whew. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., when I was a non-believer, I used to be obsessed with some of his sermons. He once said, "I want to be thoroughly used up when I die." And for whatever reason, that just kind of stuck with me. To be so filled with vitality and life, to want to pour everything into your life for God that when all is said and done, you're thoroughly used up. You have no more in the tank. Many of you have put up with me over the 8 years that I've been on the radio. I took this program over under duress. Our great brother Frank Pastore went home to the Lord. 7 months later, they announced me as the guy. In a sense, we've walked together. We've learned together. We've grown together. My prayer is we can continue that for a time more. But I will share this. If and when I do leave this program, whenever that may be, I want to be really clear on the record as saying the following. I am nothing without my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing. He's done it all for me. I'm saved by His grace. And I praise Him for being a righteous God, a God that judges, a God that loves with discipline. A God that just doesn't want to make me a nice spiritual person. He wants to transform my life. But don't ever for a moment think I did anything on this radio program. I did nothing but follow Jesus Christ. And you heard my sin, you heard my flesh, you heard my frustrations and a whole array of other things. And maybe the few and far between moments where you heard something that was undeniably powerful in Christ, that was Him speaking through me. That wasn't me. He wants to use you right here, right now, where you are, but you have to be willing to say yes to Him. He gives you free will to say yay or nay. And I just pray if that's you and you need to make yourself known to me, send me a confidential email. I'll pray with you off air. I'll send you a Bible, whatever I can do. But my heart is for healing and for following Christ. He is the only answer to all of the social ills and maladies and sins of the world. He's the only answer. He's the great I am. Pick up your cross and follow Him. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. And live boldly for the Lord. Show the world what truth is, what love is, what freedom is, and what true justice is by the cross of Christ. And I love y'all. God bless you. This is the Frank Sontag Show.